I was going to do a cold open song.
You have a cold open song?
We have to sing in unison.
I don't know what song it is.
Trouble on the left, trouble on the right, trouble on my left, my single on my left. Who, who, who,
who. How do you gut someone? Always trust my gut.
Hello and welcome to Gutted. I'm Elise.
And I'm Tony, and we're here to spill our guts about horror films. And today's episode is a post-gut horror movie review.
Today we will be looking back at one of the trailers we've reviewed for a pre-gut. We'll be discussing if our predictions were dead on or if we were horribly off.
Today's post-gut episode, we are going to be talking about the recently released Strangers Chapter 1.
Do you know what today is?
Today is the third day of our 3-day road trip across the country.
Or our 5-year anniversary. What a cool little town. I actually like this so much better than a motel. I'll bet the people who live here are really happy.
Tough crowd, right?
Hi.
Hi.
Do you hear that?
Hear what?
The silence. It's nice.
What would you do if somebody knocked on your door at 10:22 p.m.?
If someone knocked on my door at 10:22 p.m., I'd tell them, "Happy birthday."
Trying to throw them off. All right, what would you do if someone knocked on your door at 11:22 p.m.?
If someone knocked on my door at 11:22 p.m., I'd open the door and spray them with a fire hose.
You have a fire hose in your house? Just ready to
I'm
go?
Just assuming that I'm a firefighter in this scenario.
All right.
Because that would be a funny way. They did it in The Blackening. It was funny. That's what I'm inspired by.
Yeah, but they weren't inside.
Hey, there's always the
also,
sequel.
Also, spoiler for The Blackening. Sorry.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
I just wanted to hear your best hello.
Hello. What?
Sorry, I just thinking of your fire hose answer.
If someone knocked on your door and asked, "Is Tamara home?" What would
is
you say?
Is Tamara home? But yes. She is home, but you can't talk to her right now.
Tamara's out back.
Tamara's grounded.
I would have said, "I am Tamara."
So you'd be like, "Yeah, what do you want?"
Yeah, I go by Tamara. Okay. Eventually, they're going to get to someone's house and their name's going to be Tamara.
Is Tamara here?
No.
I think you have the wrong home. That was weird.
We saw the movie and then I realized I was horribly wrong about something. And I was like, we had to film a post-gut immediately. I'm so embarrassed.
I mean, I'm horribly wrong about everything every time we do one of these.
I know. I feel bad getting actors' names wrong, or I feel bad assuming that all older white women are Olwen Frere, which is what I did.
Okay, so just getting that out of the way in our trailer review, which if you haven't seen it, you should go back and check it out. Elise thought she had seen...
I thought I saw Olwen Frere. And to be fair, I've seen Olwen Frere in a lot of trailers lately. She's in the upcoming The Watchers. And I think she's in something else. And I've just been...
Now it's got you questioning, doesn't it?
It does have me questioning. Is she in these movies? Or do I just think she's in these movies? Anyway, to be fair, the scene that I'm talking about in the trailer, it's very short. They're in a diner and we see like a glimpse of this diner crowd. And there's an older woman in the background. Yeah. I thought it was her. It's not her.
I had no idea. We also go into our pre-guts
pretty cold, so we don't really look up information, although we do look up actors, so I'm surprised we didn't catch it.
We look up top billing. We don't look at the entire cast list because we're afraid to. So we saw like the top three people. None of them were Olwen. So I thought, oh, she's probably further down the list. That's definitely her.
A bit part.
Also, I need to wear glasses, which I don't wear all the time.
All right. We got that out of the way. Now,
I apologize. Mostly to Olwen.
Yeah, mostly to Olwen. I don't think anyone feels that you need to apologize for that. Anyways, before we get into this movie, we should warn you that there will be some heavy spoilers. We just got out of the theater today. It is fresh on our minds.
When we do a post-gut, I think we've only done it twice, but when
we... This is our third post-gut.
This is our third post-gut. So the other two times we've seen the movie at least twice. For this one, we've only seen it once. So we'll probably get more stuff wrong.
See, now you're just trying to...
preempt it, yeah.
Preemptively apologize for...
This is a warning that we will get things wrong.
It's okay to get some information wrong because all of the horror fans out there will fact check us and then they'll leave comments about how wrong we were.
Please do.
Let's talk about The Strangers Chapter 1. Do you want to give us a synopsis of the film?
I do. Young hip couple Ryan and Maya, or Myron, or Raya. Huh? It's their couple name.
Okay.
Anyway, they embark...
Do you give couple names to every couple?
Well, I just like Ryan and Maya because their names are very similar sounding. So Raya.
Okay. Couple Raya.
Couple Raya embark on a cross-country road trip for their five-year anniversary of dating. But a near-miss kiss-and-drive accident prompts the canoodlers to pull over. They decide to stop at a quaint diner in the middle of nowhere, demand a vegetarian meal, insult the locals, and are about to go on their merry way when their car won't start. After insulting said locals a couple more times, they allow themselves to be shuttled off to Hunter Joe's Airbnb cabin for the night. When strange things begin to occur, cue our strangers. Why are they doing this? Because you insulted nearly every local in town that you came in contact with? No, because you are here.
In a nutshell, that is what happened. I have some questions about this one.
Do you?
Maybe we should talk about who is in this film.
Who's actually in this film?
This movie is directed by Rennie Harlan, who we know from Deep Blue Sea and...
Cliffhanger,
Nightmare on Elm Street,
and
4.
Die Hard 2.
We also had someone on YouTube at Cry Wolf, a little shout out, who was recommending Rennie Harlan's movie Prison from 1987, starring a young Viggo Mortensen. So that's one that we definitely want to check out. This movie is also written by two Allens. I can't remember their names, but I just know them as the Allens.
Alan R. Cohen and Alan Friedland, as well as Brian.
There's a Brian in there?
Brian Bertino.
I didn't know about this Brian.
I know, right? I forgot about him too.
Well, okay, a lot of people wrote this movie and it has me scratching my head. How can so many people write a movie and things just go so horribly wrong? But anyways, we'll get into
Maybe
that.
Maybe that's why.
We have
Madeline Pesh, who plays Maya, Ryan, played by Froy Gutierrez, Sheriff Rotter, played by Richard Brake, and then a couple more characters, Shelley, who's the young waitress, played by Emma Horvath, and Carol, the older waitress, who's not played by Olwen Frere. She's played by Janice Ahern.
All these characters have pretty small parts, including, this was the very head-scratching part, Richard Brake, who has numerous horror movies, and No Lines is just kind of in the diner listening, eavesdropping on a conversation.
He turns his head briefly. He doesn't even stand that I know of. I don't even know if I saw him chew anything. He does very little in this movie.
But I mean, as you can probably imagine, this movie is much like the original Strangers, and you have the main couple, Maya and Ryan, and then you have the strangers,
and you have a supporting character that comes by halfway through. So yeah, a very small cast in the original one. This one also has a fairly small cast that we hear lines from, but it's slightly bigger than the original.
Yeah. So the other thing that I know about this movie, at the very end of the movie, we have a to be continued. And I've also seen a couple of comments on social media that this is planned to be a trilogy. We're getting part one here. Mm-hmm. So maybe these other characters who had bit parts, Richard Brake or whoever.
He'll show up again.
Yeah. Maybe we'll see more of them in the next ones, but it's still a little bit of a head scratcher to have these characters and they don't really do anything.
Yeah. Shelley, the young waitress, she has a big moment, but she never shows up again.
Right, right, right. So yeah, we're really just focused on the torment and the invasion of this couple. And in this movie, they didn't choose to stay at this place. It almost seems as if they were set up.
Well, they were canoodling while driving and then nearly got into a head-on collision.
Yeah.
Which, never canoodle while driving. Obvious.
Okay. I'm going to stand up on my soapbox and say, if you're in a movie and you're looking off to the right while driving for more than 30 seconds, you're gonna crash.
Yeah, or you should crash.
Nobody does that in real life. I hope they're not, because it's dangerous. When it happens in a movie and they don't crash, I don't know about you, but I get the feeling of like they're gonna crash. There's something's gonna...
Well, it's kind of like, semi-spoiler for The Descent, in the very beginning of The Descent, that movie traumatized me for those car scenes, because he's not looking at the road, and then boom, what happens? He meets his end in a horrible, bloody way.
Was it that kind of freaked them out? And then they're like, we need to get off the road.
They're going to Portland and they're in this middle of nowhere town in Oregon. It's a town called Venus. Mm-hmm. Like, let's go to this diner. It's so cute. Maya's a lot more positive than Ryan. Ryan's kind of a curmudgeon.
So right. Yeah. He's the naysayer. He's also a bit rude. So
super rude.
Yeah. When they walk into the diner, he wants to order a vegetarian meal. And
he's not even ordering it for himself. He's ordering it for Maya.
Right.
Like, okay, let her speak, buddy. She can order her own vegetarian cheese.
So many
sandwich.
Instances of these sort of like outdated male archetype.
And they're like, oh, you guys are married. And she's like, no, we're just dating. And the older waitress, Carol, goes, well, what are you waiting for? Put a ring on it. He's like, I'm waiting for my patty melt.
Yeah. Stupid. Fucking jerk.
And it goes dead silent.
At that point, I was just like, okay, kill him now.
I know. Terrible person. He's like, tough crowd. I'm like, that wasn't funny.
Yeah, that was awful. That was cringe worthy.
Even Maya looked awkward. She's like, geez.
Yeah. She was trying to make the best of the situation. Yeah. Sometimes in the movie, though, she tries to make a little bit too much of...
Almost trying too hard to be like, this is great and I love everything.
Even though there's obviously people scampering around, but there's like several moments in the film where she shakes her head or nods, and it's like a bad acting decision.
I thought, okay, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's the shower scene where we've seen this in the trailer, where she is washing her hair, lathering it up. She leans forward and we see the scarecrow stranger in the background. And then she leans back and then she leans forward again and he's gone. And then she kind of shakes her head like, ugh. I'm imagining things.
Yeah. Okay, not to shit on Maya that much, because she conveyed fear and terror very well.
She did.
The downfall of the performances of the actors was a little bit more in the writing of their characters.
And it could be the directing also. Yeah. I'm sure Brian is like, okay, Maya, now really let us know that it's in your head. How are you going to do that? No, he's more. I like, want more from you.
She's like, damn it, I had like 38 really great takes and they used that one. Come on.
She probably did. She's like, she probably had a lot more subtle takes. And Raina's like, no, I've worked with Sly. I've worked with Samuel L. Jackson.
Raina's like, come on, it worked in Cliffhanger.
Yeah. That could easily have been a directing move there, Rennie.
We do get a lot of the same things that happened in the original Strangers.
Mm-hmm.
So the couple, they're in a cabin or in the middle of nowhere late at night. They're having these like sweet moments. Then someone knocks at the door.
I will say that's the biggest difference between the original and this one, is that in the 2008 version, Liv Tyler's character and Scott Speedman, they start off just kind of sour. The mood has been soured because Scott Speedman has proposed to Liv Tyler at his brother's wedding. I'm like, okay, first off, why would you propose to your girlfriend at your brother's wedding? Way to steal the thunder, Scott. So no wonder Liv says, no, it's not the time. And so Scott's all pouty the whole movie. So that's a lot different, because that dynamic was really interesting to me. This couple that already has a strained relationship, but they do ultimately care for one another, and they come together probably more so than they ever have in their whole relationship in this night with the strangers.
Right.
Whereas this one, they already love each other too much. Where does your relationship go from there?
I mean, I'd say if anything, maybe Ryan is a little non-committal. because Maya's still asking, like, if I get this job in Portland, would you move out? And so I think, like, he's still a little timid on the relationship, even though they've been dating for 5 years.
Well, because 5 years ago, Maya's like, I never want to get married. And so she was kind of expecting him to propose when they were going on some magical hike. She's like, I kind of thought that that was the moment. He's like, but you said you never wanted to get married. Taking her at her word from 5 years ago.
That's it. You said it.
You said
it
once.
I wrote it down.
I committed it to memory.
Yes. Folded it up on a piece of paper and it's always in my pocket. Just to...
Never to marry. Got it.
Yeah. Exactly.
But ultimately, I think they do care for one another and they do want to be together and they are committed.
Right. They're out in this cabin and the strangers are there.
Well, yeah. Their car doesn't work. So they have to go to Hunter Joe's Airbnb.
And Hunter Joe's.
I was thinking, good job, Hunter Joe. What a savvy business person.
He had little bottles of tequila around and he had a nice little record collection.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a hospitable guy.
Yeah. Good job, Joe. He's a hunter by day and an Airbnb-er by night. Where does he sleep, though? I thought that was like his
place. He's hunting. He's sleeping out in the woods.
Oh, he's in need of a place.
Yeah.
Oh, well, good. Good for
Although
him.
We might find out something about that later. But
more about Joe in the sequel, hopefully.
But yeah, so it seems like the couple is, I got the feeling that they were being set up because they enter the diner and then they exit the diner and then all of a sudden their car doesn't work. The guy who owns the mechanic shop, I forget his name, Joel or something. I don't know.
Rudy.
Mm-hmm. I don't know where I got Joel from, but anyways.
Hunter Joe.
Yeah, he just looks kind of shady and looks pissed.
I will say I didn't appreciate the portrayal of all the male locals in town. Like, okay, everyone besides Richard Brake or the two cops in the restaurant.
Portrayal? They had no screen time except for Rudy.
Well, the waitresses look put together.
Yeah.
And then all of the more blue collar workers, like the mechanics outside, the gas station attendants, they did look bunk, as Tony likes to say.
That's what I
Or as he predicted in the trailer review.
Yeah, they just look like they are the Hills Have Eyes.
I missed that part in the trailer. And I was like, oh, wow, they really do look kind of bunk. But why? Why did they have to look like
because
that?
They live out in the middle of nowhere in Oregon.
Yeah.
And people who live in small towns versus people who live in cities are night and day. People live in small towns are blue collar. They're greasy and dirty.
Okay. This is how it is portrayed in film. This is not reality.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just saying from the point of view of the film, this is not what I believe personally. Okay. And people who live in the cities, they wear nice watches.
They wear nice watches.
Nice clothes.
You can identify them. They wear ties.
They listen to indie music.
Yeah.
Like Cage the Elephant, Trouble.
Which was not in the movie. Yeah.
But yeah, you get the feeling that they were set up. There's also like some odd folk in the town, like the two little twin boys
who are
trying to pass
distributing
them
their religious pamphlets.
Yeah. So there are little nuggets there that lead you to believe like, okay, if this is in fact a prequel, which I think we should talk a little bit about that later. Like, is this a prequel? I don't know what this is. Is it a reboot? It was confusing, definitely. But anyways, they give you little nuggets that like maybe will be explained mm-hmm. later in the upcoming chapter 2, chapter 3, whatever.
I went into this thinking it was going to be a straight up prequel because
right. we
both the did. Trailer
yeah.
specifically says in writing.
And I quote.
And we quote, come see.
It said witness how the strangers became the strangers.
Exactly.
But it didn't say witness over the course of 3 movies how the strangers became the strangers. It just said witness in this movie.
It said this May.
This May, yeah.
Yeah, this May, which is this month that we are currently in, as of this recording, witness how the strangers became the strangers. There is not a single moment in this movie where I was like, oh, that's how they got started.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan and Maya aren't even their first victims.
No.
There's some poor corporate lackey named Jeff.
Which I completely forgot about that opening scene like 10 minutes into the movie.
Yeah. Jeff, played by Ryan Bowne, who has top billing somewhere, was killed before our couple even got to town.
Yeah.
And we see him in the opening scene. He's running through the woods and he's got a watch on and a suit.
Yeah.
And the strangers they catch up with him somehow. Even though this guy's running, he's booking it through the woods aimlessly.
Right.
And the strangers still catch up to him.
Yeah.
Chop him.
Just to kind of like speed along the points of the movie, because if you've seen The Strangers, then you pretty much exactly know what's going to happen. So the couple, they kind of, there's like a little cat and mouse game that goes on for a majority of the movie. And then they are eventually caught and killed. Although Maya survives. At the last minute, the cops come, the strangers bolt.
And that's where it is kind of following the timeline of the 2008 version. They have the cat and mouse chase, and then they are caught and tied to a chair. And Maya has her line, "Why are you doing this?" We have the stray of the
budget
line,
version.
The budget version, because you are here, not because you are home. Because, you know, it makes sense.
Or it's not why not? Home. And strangers pray at night, which we should mention that we have since recording the pre-gut, we have watched Strangers Pray at Night.
We have since watched it. And actually, I really enjoy Strangers Pray at Night.
I would say I enjoyed parts of it, but I thought it was also not that great.
It was not that great, but it was fun. And I think ultimately, yes, the 2008 version is the best one to me.
Yeah.
But I appreciate Strangers Pray at Night because it was fun. I enjoyed the surreal lighting, the set that almost kind of seemed like a, I don't know, like some like little kid diorama set of a playground or a trailer park.
Yeah.
And it had some really good scene songs.
Yeah.
Scenes some interesting that had good stuff, songs.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of which, this movie had some good scene songs.
It did.
Including the song that was in the original, the Joanna Newsom.
Sprout and the Bean.
Sprout and the Bean.
Made a little reprisal.
Yeah. But we also had Nights in White Satin.
Yeah.
And we had Beethoven's Ninth, which I actually saw.
No, that was Moonlight Sonata. Okay. I'm pretty sure it was Moonlight Sonata.
I don't know my classical
Correct
music.
Me if I'm wrong, listeners.
I think you're probably right. Again, I think I'm more wrong than you.
Again, we've watched this one time. So if it's not Moonlight Sonata, we apologize. Again.
So it's basically like all the stuff that's happening in The Strangers, the original movie, is happening again in this movie. And I'm thinking to myself as I'm watching, why do I need to see this again?
Why do I need to see this in a way that's less
effective?
Yes, which I feel bad saying, but I enjoyed the couple less. I think ultimately I was less caring about the couple.
Right.
Whereas in the 2008 version, I really cared about this couple that had a horrible night before they even got to this cabin because they had a botched proposal. It's like, that sucks. And on top of that, they're going to like get cat and mouse chased and then murdered possibly. Terrible night. I felt so bad for them.
This couple is generally not likable. I mean, maybe Maya had her moments, but
she did.
Ryan was definitely not likable.
I felt bad for Ryan. Like, I'm sorry, Ryan. And maybe it's the way that he was written, but he was written in a very unlikable way. Even when he's gone to go get food, he insults the locals again. And the locals know, they pick up on it. They're like, oh, I guess he doesn't want to slum it with the locals.
Yeah.
And then he again goes to the window and goes, I want a vegetarian hamburger. And they're like, okay. Like, so like a cheese sandwich. Like, okay.
Piece of bread. Yeah. A grilled cheese. And just say a grilled cheese, buddy.
Yeah. And then the lady at the window tries to offer him the religious pamphlet. He's like, no. I don't want that. Like, dude,
he's
just
so
take
uppity.
It.
Okay. So now I want to ask, because this is a majority of the movie, how did you feel about The Strangers?
I can appreciate that they tried to give The Strangers a little bit more personality than in the 2008 version. In the 2008 version, you really don't get much from them. They are very stoic and silent and stalky the whole time.
Right.
Whereas in this one, the three of them do seem to have their own thing going. Like one of them keeps singing Rockabye Baby. So it's like, okay, what's that about? Did you have a baby? One of them is just like batty and giggling as she has a shotgun pointed to her forehead. And then the other one, the scarecrow guy, seems to be like the protector of both of them.
Right. He's a big dude. And he's kind of like signaling to them.
And he does like have this weird moment where, well, after he stabs Ryan, he stands and rolls his eyes into the back of his head, almost like he's enjoying it too much in some sort of sensual, pleasurable way. So they try to insert these little nuggets of personality onto each of them. Like, okay, they're all psychotic in like a unique way.
Mm-hmm.
Which that was interesting.
They do not speak really they don't unless speak. They are singing.
Yeah. One of them gets, or unless they're asking where Tamara is.
Or delivering the line, because you're here.
Because you're here.
But the scarecrow stranger, he doesn't speak at all. He'll signal. He'll kind of do like a little head nod or an eye roll, but does not speak.
Yeah.
Why? Why do they not speak? Is it just to make themselves creepier? Or is it because they're afraid that their voice is going to be recognized?
Maybe they have this agreement like, okay, only one of us can talk.
Maybe one of their names is Tamara. Wouldn't that be a good twist?
The one asking for Tamara is Tamara?
Yeah.
So she's looking for another Tamara.
Yeah.
She's like, I just want to meet my twin named Tamara.
Yeah. So who is Tamara? That's a question left unanswered.
I really thought we were going to find out who Tamara was. I went to see this hoping to find out more about Tamara.
I think that we should move on to the biggest burning question for me is, and we did talk about it a little bit, but is it a prequel? Is it a reboot? Is it a requel?
On YouTube, at Cry Wolf, he did predict that it was going to be a requel, as Mindy in Scream 5 calls them. I kind of think he's right.
Wait, so. Can you clarify what is a requel? Because to me, a requel is a reboot sequel, but it would be like a prequel.
Reboot prequel?
Prequel.
A prequel? A prequel. I think in Scream 5, Mindy is saying that a requel is a reboot
sequel. Because she's talking about Candyman.
She's talking about Candyman?
Yeah, which is a reboot sequel.
Reboot sequel. Okay, yeah. So then this is a reboot sequel.
Prequel. A reboot prequel. This is a reboot prequel. Possibly.
You're right, because the preview.
Or is it just a straight up reboot? Because I think the preview led us on to believe that it was a prequel.
So it's kind of like Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Yeah, I guess so. Nowhere in this movie did we already talked about this, didn't we?
Yeah, like we didn't learn anything about their
origin story. Okay, so maybe we could just leave it at that then. We don't really need to go over that again. Maybe we should get into some of our predictions to see where we were correct and where we were horribly wrong.
All right.
And unfortunately, I'm looking at your list right here and it looks like we are horribly wrong on most of the movies.
Mostly horribly wrong. I was completely wrong on every single thing that I said.
But I would blame the trailer, because the trailer really did make it seem like it was going to be a prequel, which it was not. So all of our predictions were based on the fact that we thought it was a prequel.
So not our fault. Thanks a lot, trailer editor.
All right, let's talk about what we did get correct.
What did you get correct, Tony?
You got nothing correct?
I got nothing correct.
So I got a couple of things
correct.
You got
one thing correct.
Well, okay. Yeah. So my prediction that was my best prediction that I got correct, I'm very proud of this, is that the song was going to be called Trouble. And I think I said it's a song by some 2010s indie band.
Yeah. You're like, it's either Cold War Kids or maybe Cage the Elephant.
Yeah.
You look it up right after it. Cage the Elephant. Yeah. Or and no, it's called my 2010s Trouble.
Indie.
Yeah.
It's a catchy song. It's not exactly the kind of song that I like, but
I did enjoy it in the trailer.
Yeah, I thought it worked well for the trailer.
Like, catchy.
And in the trailer, they played that song over a record, but it did not actually make it into the movie. So we didn't hear the song in the movie. It's just in the trailer.
Yeah, it is not in the movie.
But what did make it, and I think I also said this in the pre-gut, this movie is going to be such a direct ripoff of the original that they're going to have all of the same nuggets, the record playing, the blah, 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 and the same song that they played, which was Sproutin' the Bean by Joanna Newsom.
Yeah, so that made a return. That was cool.
That made a return, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was almost kind of like a, I don't know, it was a little bit of an eye roll for me, because I was like,
Hunter Joe has Joanna Newsom.
Yeah, they didn't seem to quite fit.
He's very eclectic.
Yeah, maybe I'm just not giving enough credit to Hunter Joe. So, you know, I shouldn't prejudge
Hunter
Joe.
He's got the classics, he has Beethoven.
Yeah, maybe that makes me no better than Ryan.
You're no better than Ryan. Just assuming that you know Hunter Joe.
Yeah. So, okay, so that's pretty much all we got correct.
That's it.
But let's talk about our creative predictions, also known as the terrible predictions that we made. Elise, you can start with the first one that you opened the episode with.
Yeah, Olwen Frere is not in it. It is Janice Ahern. She plays waitress Carol.
All right.
That was terrible.
And she had some lines.
She had lines.
Yeah.
Yeah, she even had a sandwich named after her, the Carol.
The Carol with no bacon.
That's
what she ordered in the diner. Okay, so then... your other prediction that...
Also, they are not married. I thought they were married. They're
but
just
was that
dating.
A prediction or is that just an
That's
assumption?
That's just something I said. Okay. I assumed.
Okay, here's one that was confusing, though, because in the trailer, we both thought that the person who asked for Tamara was a little boy.
Yeah, the shadowy figure. From the trailer, it looks like a little boy.
Yeah.
I'm still not convinced that it's not a little boy. It could still be a little boy wearing a skirt.
Well, they refer to her as a girl.
Ryan assumes that he's a girl.
Yeah.
Or she's a girl.
Yeah.
But I'm not convinced.
But also, you can't see that person because they're completely shadowed.
Yeah. And even when we see them, both of the female or the dolly mask strangers are wearing beanies, so their hair is completely covered, and they're both wearing dresses that are very modest dresses.
So yeah, we really can't tell. We do not know gender, and you know, maybe this person is gender fluid. We don't know.
We don't know. We know nothing about this stranger.
Nicole. Oh, this was a good one. I like this creative guess here.
Nicole Kidman is not one of the strangers as of yet.
As of yet. Yes, there are two more movies.
Two more
to make this happen. Let's
do this. Nicole Kidman can be one of the strangers.
Come on, Rennie.
Come on, Allens and Brian.
Let's make this happen.
Make Nicole a stranger. That'd be great. Oh, I thought that Richard Brake was going to die. That he was going to have maybe some sort of like big motivational speech and then get eaten by an alligator. But nope, we never see him again.
Rennie Harlan style. We would love to see
it. I would love to have
But instead,
that.
His only part in this movie was to eavesdrop at the diner.
Sit at the
Had
diner.
Had zero lines. I think they focused in on him once.
Yeah, they did focus on him having his head turn as he listened to the young couple. He didn't like really emote, but I was watching him. I was like, what's he thinking? What is Richard thinking? So at the very end, when the cops were coming, I thought for sure one of the cops was going to be Richard Brake. And then you can be like, okay, so we know that Richard's not the tall scarecrow stranger.
I still kind of feel like he's going to be involved because how could Richard Brake not be a villain in a horror movie?
He's got to show up at some point.
He can't just be this bit part. So I have a feeling like in one of the sequels, he's going to be... So okay, my thoughts on this, the strangers are a part of some sort of religious cult. And Richard Brake is maybe going to be like a cult leader or something like that.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, and they're just sort of like
minions.
They're
sacrificing.
They're doing some sort of ritual for what reason? Probably don't care.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's probably going to be a really bad reason.
Like, it explains away the creep.
Yeah, explains away the creep. Yeah. It just...
In the 2008 version, they did have two little boys on bikes that were distributing religious pamphlets, but they were totally separate from the strangers. They just kind of happened to pass the strangers in the morning after like the aftermath.
Oh, okay. See, I forgot about that completely.
And they had the truck full of the strangers, they stop and they take the pamphlet from the boys. And then the boys keep going and they stumble across the cabin that has Liv Tyler and Scott Speedman inside. The door is wide open and they're the ones that call the cops.
Okay. Okay, so this next prediction is one that I thought was going to be a really good one, but it didn't happen.
Oh, yeah. I thought that scene in the trailer when Ryan has the shotgun pointed at the dolly mask face, the stranger with the dolly mask, I thought that the reason why the dolly mask stranger was acting all crazy was because it really wasn't a stranger. I thought it was going to be Maya with like her mouth completely shut. Or glued shut.
The knife taped to her hand.
The knife taped
like
to her hand. And she's trying to scream for Ryan, like, don't shoot me. And then he's going to, like, you know, shoot her or something. It's like, oh, it's Maya. That didn't happen. It was just a crazy stranger.
Yeah.
With
missed
a death
opportunity.
Wish.
Although we have seen that happen before in movies.
I mean, it was interesting, you know, getting that insight into that stranger's psyche. Like, okay, she's giggling as there's a shotgun pointed to her head.
Yeah, they're completely psychotic.
Yeah,
they're crazy. Oh, the next one was my really terrible prediction. I thought that the strangers were going to nuke the town and only one survivor.
Because you started with like, I think that there's going to be one townsfolk remaining. I'm like, what?
I think what I actually meant to say before I just went off the rails with that was that there is going to be a final person.
Okay.
So yeah. I thought maybe someone will survive too, because I was thinking like, all right, if this is a prequel, maybe one person survived
to tell the tale.
To tell the tale or something like that, to warn the townsfolk.
And then that escalated to the whole town getting nuked. The
whole town gets nuked, yeah.
Which would have been interesting.
I would have loved to see that.
That would have been cool. I had like wishful thinking, like hopes. Like they weren't really predictions. I was just like hoping that stuff that was going to happen wasn't going to be what it looked like. Like that scene where they're tied to the chair in the trailer and she's saying, why are you doing this? I was hoping that was not going to be their final scene. I was hoping that that was going to happen in the middle of the movie and then they would get out somehow. But no, that was.
So you're hoping for something different.
Something different, but that was definitely.
Nothing different happened. It was nothing. The same exact movie. It was the same, movie.
Except for a little bit more annoying. Yeah.
I'd say a lot more annoying.
Yeah.
And there was no comedy.
No comedy.
You wanted a comedy.
There was no comedy. And it was not a musical.
I wanted it to be a musical.
Tony
I thought that would have been cool.
He did wish for it to be something like Dick's the Musical. It was nothing like Dick's the Musical.
Oh, well, so missed opportunity.
You will be disappointed if you're hoping for Dick's the Musical.
Is this town the hometown of the strangers? So do the townsfolk have something to do with the strangers? Or because in the original, you kind of assume that the strangers are just passing through
town. They are just passing through.
And then they just randomly terrorize someone, which is frightening.
Yeah.
But in this one, maybe it's like the town is kind of in on it. Like who, like why did their car break down? Were they set up?
Rudy the mechanic.
Are the townsfolks actually the strangers? Is Richard Brake the maestro of the strangers? Are they part of a religious cult? There's all these little nuggets that could possibly explain how the strangers became the strangers.
I kind of think that we will find out in the sequel of this reboot trilogy that the strangers perhaps are part of these townsfolk. We're going to eventually unmask these strangers and recognize some of, at least one of them as one of the people that we've seen in the first one.
I think they're not going to be unmasked until the third one.
Yeah.
Trilogy, prequel trilogy. And then at the very end, all of the townsfolk are going to be like, we've been trying to get these strangers out of here for years. All right, they're dead now. Let's throw them in this meat grinder. Like Halloween ends.
Yeah. Spoiler.
So, yeah. Have we not learned our lesson with The Exorcist and with Halloween about trilogies and prequel trilogies and all this stuff?
I don't think filmmakers have learned their lessons. I don't think they're watching these movies.
Maybe the movie will make enough money for it to be worth it for them to make these because of the built-in audience. Yeah. And, you know, some people might like these movies. I mean, I think there was like, there are some things to like about the movie.
Yeah, it wasn't completely terrible. I feel like I did enjoy certain aspects, but if I am comparing it to the 2008 version and how can you not, then I was slightly disappointed or let down.
In the theater, there were quite a few people chuckling at parts that I didn't think they were supposed to be chuckling.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
That's probably a sign. You had that prediction that perhaps they face a tragedy like losing a child.
Or having their Airbnb trashed.
Hold on. When you discussed them possibly having lost a child and then one of the female strangers is constantly singing Rockabye Baby. Mm. I was like, oh, Tony's prediction. Mm. Perhaps
see,
that's correct.
I have wild predictions and wildly accurate predictions.
Sometimes
all in the same
breath.
Seem
a little bit accurate. Yeah. cover all your bases there.
Yeah. Because you thought that maybe the strangers were just a bored couple and they just want to kill people.
They just want to kill. They just want to kill.
That was actually more terrifying reason than all of this backstory and losing a child and, you know, all that stuff. Yeah, is terrible, but I don't need to see that in a movie.
They're all psychotic and they just want to do this together because it's fun. It's like finding a book club, you know?
They don't need a reason, as the poster said. Any last questions or anything?
Just a little tidbit of, I mean, you've probably already watched the movie if you're listening to this episode.
Hopefully.
But definitely don't be those people that we saw like skating out of the theater right before the credits go on, because you're going to miss stuff.
Oh, yeah. There's some post-credit.
So always stay for the credits, or at least like the first half of the credits.
And I thought that part was kind of funny. I laughed.
It was kind of funny. It's probably one of those things where it's like, oh, it's a dream sequence. Mm. There's no way someone let this scarecrow stranger into the hospital, let alone into Maya's room, take a little nap next to her. So that's probably one of those like, oh, it's a dream.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Moving on to our award ceremony. The first one is not an award. It's kind of a demotion. It is the axe.
Is an award.
It is an award, you know?
Yeah. Sometimes it's nice to be
acknowledged at all for something.
Yeah, even if it's a terrible thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Axe Award is for the character or element or really anything that you would strike from the movie. What are you going to get rid of?
I'm going to get rid of Maya's lip gloss.
Maya's lip gloss.
Oh my goodness. I don't usually give it towards like a makeup or wardrobe thing, but I was so distracted by her lip gloss the entire movie. And, you know, Madeline Pesch has very voluptuous lips and great for her. But the lip gloss on her lips constantly, I was just staring at how shiny they were the whole time. Finally, she took a shower and washed it off and they did not reapply it, luckily. So thank goodness. Anyway, very minor, but I didn't like it.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Okay. We're getting petty here.
No, it's one of those. Okay. Again, I saw the movie one time, but it stuck with me. And if lip gloss sticks with me that much, it should probably go.
Lip gloss is sticky.
It's sticky. It stuck with me in a bad way. So what are you getting rid of?
We were talking about earlier how you wanted Renny Harlin to insert some comedy into this film.
Yeah.
And he did that, but I think he did it inadvertently.
So you're getting rid of the comedy. No,
I'm not getting rid of it. I laughed out loud in this movie several times, but I think for the wrong reasons. And I was thinking about what is the biggest moment in the trailer and also in the movie that it could easily be taken out of the movie. Like, I get the idea in theory works, but like in practice and when you watch it, it's actually like really funny. It's pretty stupid if you ask me. So I'm giving my Axe Award to, and this is why I see this as an award, because I feel like this could be a badge of honor.
Yeah.
To the famous messy cheeseburger scene.
Yeah.
Where Ryan is eating a cheeseburger and the ketchup is dripping all over his plate.
All over his mouth. It's disgusting.
It's like, it reminds me of those old Carl's Jr. commercials.
Yeah, that's what I thought of too. I'm like, man, he's bringing it back. So that's why I thought that like, okay, this is like one of those old Carl's Jr. commercials from like 2007.
Yeah.
Maybe it is a true prequel.
Well, and I get that, like, okay, you need to set up the blood dripping from the dead chicken
Making Ryan a total the ketchup. Dumbass.
But he was way too messy with that.
And then he was like, why don't you lick it off me or something stupid? And she almost goes in for it. I'm like, please don't, because that's gross.
That would have been amazing if she would have went in for it.
But she actually just wiped his face. I'm like, thank goodness. I did not want to see a messy ketchup kiss.
Yeah, that was a sweet little moment. So
it was funny, yeah.
But yeah, that
the
scene,
entire theater, I was just like groaning and laughing. It went on for way too long.
Like, now that I say that out loud, I'm like, maybe I don't want to get rid of that scene.
That's actually my favorite scene.
Well, for the sake of making this a horror movie and not a slapstick comedy, I'm going to give it the axe. So even though I did love it.
Fair. I agree.
But for all the wrong reasons. Next, we have the first aid kit. It's the word to bring someone back from the dead.
Yeah.
Not too many people died in this
movie.
You
know, it was a pretty low body count.
Kind of slim pickings. So who are you going with? Who are you bringing back from the dead?
Hunter Joe.
Hunter Joe?
I'm bringing back Hunter Joe, the owner of the cabin. He was just there to help fix the lights or something because Maya had called him. And he was there. He's like, all right, I'm going to come on out at 3 a.m. and fix your... He's dedicated.
Yeah.
He's a dedicated Airbnb host.
Yep.
And he gets wrongfully shot in the eyeball.
Yep.
Who knew Ryan was such a good shot?
And he willingly shot Hunter Joe just like that.
Yeah.
Yet when he had one of the strangers at gunpoint, he did not shoot.
He's like, you better not. You better drop the knife or I'm going to shoot you.
You better apologize or else I'm going to shoot you. Let's just call it even. All right. And then the other guy comes in.
Yeah. But he like went guns blazing on Hunter Joe. Not fair.
Yeah. So I agree with you. That is also who I gave the first aid kit to, because I felt like Hunter Joe was wrongfully murdered.
Totally.
It was like, come on, man. What is this guy? This guy provided tequila, an eclectic record collection.
Yeah. Don Julio. That's not cheap.
He wasn't even expecting guests. He just had it all ready to go.
He did. He was prepared.
Yeah.
And I know that they were trying to, like, you know, have the parallel of the 2008 version when Scott Speedman shoots his own brother because he thinks it's
Glenn Howerton.
Because he thinks it's going to be one of the strangers. And you're like, oh, man, that was so sad. So Hunter Joe, a little bit less tragic than your brother who just got married. But still.
Poor Hunter Joe.
Yeah. Next award. This is the second kidney. What one character, alive or dead, in this movie would you give the second kidney to show up in the sequel or requel or spinoff?
All right. I thought really long and hard about this. And this is one of my favorite characters in the movie, and I have a whole plan for the sequel or the spinoff. My second kidney award is going to Ryan's rat buddy.
The rat buddy.
So they're crawling in the crawl space underneath the house, and Maya gets freaked out by a rat off in the distance, and it's a cute little rat.
It is. It's very like clean looking.
And then she looks at Ryan in fear, and of course he's got like a rat buddy
just hitching a ride
on his back. Okay, so in the sequel, I'm gonna go a full Stranger's Ratatouille kind of thing. So the rat is going to find its way to Maya, and it's going to ratatouille her to be able to fend herself off and kill all the strangers. So,
okay,
yeah,
that would be cute. That would be cute.
Yeah.
Mine goes to Sheriff Rotter, played by Richard Brake, because I wanted to see more of him. And I'm sure he will show up. And knowing now that these are set to be like sequels or trilogies or whatever, he probably will show up. But before I knew that, I was just like, what the heck? Yeah, he has to show up in a sequel of some sort. So he probably will.
So yeah.
Yeah. We already know that Maya will, because she was at the end when it said to be continued. So yeah, she doesn't count.
She's in the hospital. She's going to go full Laurie Strode.
She will.
Who's getting your Best Intestines Award? The Best Intestine Award goes to the best kill of the film.
Ariel Chicken. The chicken. Hanging from the ceiling, dripping blood from its gaping neck wound all over their hamburger.
Wow.
That was the best death. There weren't many.
It was an off-screen death. We didn't even see it.
It was an off-screen death, but we still got to see it dripping blood for the entire... Well, not the entire.
Well, that's just sad.
It was sad, but that's why it deserves a Best Intestine Award. Goes to Chicken.
Okay, you might view this as a little bit of a cop-out, but I wrote here, and I quote, Best Intestines, no one, and then Sucky.
Sucky?
Yeah. Sucky. What a childish answer, because I thought all of the deaths in this movie were complete bullshit. First we had the corporate guy who Jeff. Like I can't even remember how Jeff. He died.
He was axed off screen.
Okay, but we do see his skeleton that's rotted later, and you know it's him because he's wearing the fancy watch.
Yeah, and he had been rotting for some time, so these strangers really waited. They held out. So maybe the strangers were trying to practice self-restraint, which is commendable. And
I don't know. Maybe no one
do it.
No one's come through town. So then the next death was Hunter Joe.
Hunter Joe.
Right. And Hunter Joe, I felt like that was like an undeserved death.
Yeah. It wasn't really like a good death.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, shot in the eyeball. Done.
Yeah. I guess it was shocking.
Yeah.
So maybe that would be my second place. And then the third place was Ryan. But I was like cheering when that happened. Like, thank God.
Like, he's done. He can't insult the locals anymore.
So, yeah. So it's a little bit of a cop out. I mean, I guess if I actually had to give it to someone, I'd probably just give it to Hunter Joe.
I know. We'll see. That's why I gave it to the chicken. Because
I forgot about the chicken.
Yeah. Out of all the deaths in the movie, I thought the chicken's death was the best.
And let's face it, I'm going to assume that Rat Buddy actually died, so off screen.
Why are you assuming that Rat Buddy died?
I don't know.
They smashed
a bleak movie.
As they're crawling through the crawl space.
It accidentally crawled on that nail that Maya stuck her hand through.
Okay, which when she did that, I was like, come on, no one slams their hand on a nail. Maybe she would have done that if she jumped, like, you know, from a two-story building. But if you are crawling really slowly, you're not going to slam your hand down. You go, ouch.
People laughed in that moment in the theater. Okay, Silver Spleen, what is the second best element of the film? And that can be anything about the film, the acting, the scene, the score, whatever.
This is funny. Okay, so I actually gave my Silver Spleen, my second place award, to the gross, ridiculous ketchup face scene.
So you appreciated the comedy.
Yeah, so your axe actually gets my second place award. I just feel like, okay, that ketchup scene, that's what I wanted from Rennie Harlan. I wanted more of that. More of that ridiculous, like, weird, just weirdness, ketchup something on odd, the face, yeah, all over, and disgusting, funny.
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, my Silver Spleen award goes to the song Nights in White Satin that played on the record player, because I love that song. Yeah. And then the strangers came and turned it off, and I was pissed.
They turned it off. They didn't let it play.
Exactly.
You were like, I think I heard some groans in the theater when they turned it off. They're like, aw.
Was enjoying that. Yeah. Okay, and now the last and final award, the coveted Golden Gut Award. Mm-hmm. Elise, what element of this film is getting your Golden Gut Award?
My Golden Gut Award goes to the scene with Knights in White Satin.
Wow.
I liked it as a scene song. I thought that it had all those scenes from the trailer with, like, the baby doll stranger walking down the stairs all slowly and the scarecrow stranger coming out of the woodwork somewhere. But instead of To Cage the Elephant, it was Two Knights in White Satin. Mm. And so I really enjoyed that scene song.
Okay. Okay. Very nice. Very nice. My Golden Gut Award goes to, you might be able to guess what this is.
Rat Buddy?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
My Golden Gut Award goes to Rat Buddy on Ryan's back. When I saw the rat on his back, I actually leaned over to Elise and said, that's cute.
He did. He always said, oh, that's cute.
Now, I know most people don't necessarily think that rats are cute, but this rat looked really cute.
You could tell this rat has a home. It does not live in a crawl space.
It looked clean.
Who you fooling, rat?
Yeah, it looked like a nice rat. It didn't look like
one of those, like, sewer gnarly rats with a spindly tail.
I was just gonna do a throwback or call out, shout out to our friend Andre Ford, who told us about the rats in New York City.
6 feet tall.
And he's telling us how dirty and nasty these rats are. If Andre saw the rat in this movie, he would be appalled.
He would be appalled.
He would be offended for all New Yorkers.
He'd be like, that's not realistic. Yeah.
If you saw this rat in a sequel, Ratatouille Strangers sequel remix, then I think he would appreciate it.
All so right, we our did golden it. Yes. Guts go to a rat and Knights in White Satin.
Because there was nothing else in this movie that we could give awards to, unfortunately.
Yeah, but I will say I did appreciate that scene song, because that was like the moment when Maya and Ryan realize that shit's going down.
Yeah,
that, like, the strangers are there and not to be looking for Tamara.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where is Tamara? That's what I want to know.
So, like, are the strangers the knights in white satin? Are they?
I didn't really think about the song lyrics.
Are knights in white satin a symbol for death?
I don't know, but I like that thought.
Thank you.
Okay, so that leads us to our blockbuster rating. Elise, is this movie a staff pick? Is it a main shelf movie? We added a new category, dollar rental. So that's like a budget rental?
Yeah. So it's like you have to return it, but you rent it for a dollar.
Or bargain bin, which is...
You can buy it for a dollar and keep it.
Or is it a back alley dumpster movie?
Yeah. And the reason why I added the dollar rental is because I felt like you could main shelf. Going from main shelf to a bargain bin is quite a jump.
Okay.
So obviously I'm making this a dollar rental, which is why I created this new.
Okay. So you want it back?
I want it back because I actually feel like there were certain elements that I enjoyed.
Some of the scares or some of the creeping around.
I do appreciate a good scene song.
Sounds great. You're going to get it back.
Sounds so threatening. All right, what's your blockbuster rating?
This is a solid bargain bin movie for me.
Okay.
It is a complete ripoff of the first movie. Yeah. It promised that it was going to be a prequel, which it's not. Mm-hmm. And it's actually making me wait for sequels of the prequel reboot to, and I'm just all kinds of confused. So It's a solid bargain bin. I won't give it a back alley dumpster because, yes, there were some shots in the movie that were kind of nice and there were a couple of good scares, although most of the scares were kind of predictable and eye-roll-y.
Yeah.
It did have a few good moments.
I agree. You know, I might eventually put this in my bargain bin, but it'll be in my dollar. Now. Yeah, it'll be on my dollar rental shelf for like half a year and then it's going to the bargain bin, which leads us to our Letterboxd rating. We ultimately gave this a 2.5. So it's like,
It's average.
It's average. You got a halfway.
Yeah. You know, if you were having some friends over and maybe they weren't like big horror buffs and you wanted to show them something that wasn't
cute rat.
Yeah, something that wasn't as terrifying as The Strangers because you didn't want to traumatize your friends, although that's fun to do.
Yeah.
Then maybe you could show them this one and it's kind of like a budget version
this
of The Strangers.
This one is, I think, a good gateway into watching the 2008 version because I still think the 2008 version one was more terrifying. So if you want someone to not be terrified of being alone at night at home, then have them watch this one first.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So it is, does still have some value. It's not a complete back alley dumpster.
This one might be good for teens. This might be a good teen horror movie.
Okay.
Yeah, if we make a list of good teen horror movies, this might be one of them.
Well, I am curious about what is to come in the following sequels. You know, I will probably
see. I'm mildly curious to see what they do with Richard Brake. And finally, Tony, was there a lesson that you learned from this bargain bin movie?
I learned so much from this movie.
I did too. I wrote a lot down here.
If you're being attacked and your attacker is present, please arm yourself, find a weapon. And I will say that if you search in the medicine drawer, there's not a good weapon in there.
He found a toothbrush.
There's a slight chance that you might find a straight razor or maybe someone just carries acid in there. You throw acid at someone's face.
Nicely and clearly labeled acid.
Yeah, but that wouldn't be the first place that I searched for a weapon.
No.
They're in the bedroom for several minutes of the film where they could have gotten, I don't know, a piece of wood or
even the lid of a toilet tank. Like, weren't they in the bathroom?
Literally anything. And then this is kind of one of the gripes that I had with this movie is these characters were constantly making decisions like this. The strangers axe the door out and then, you know, they're just like kind of sitting there in terror doing absolutely nothing. And I understand some people have fight or flight. So some people might
fight, flight or freeze.
Some people might freeze, but I feel like, you know, this guy, he should have at least made some effort to get something to defend himself with. But then they go to the open hole literally like a second after they're gone. And he's like, I think they're gone.
I'm going to stick my head out.
Yeah. And you're just like, come on, man. Like people are screaming.
We're just like, oh, man, you're going to get decapitated.
Yeah.
But obviously not because you have to be tied to a chair eventually. And they were standing sitting way too close to that window behind them. I mean, nothing happened.
Several times. Like, they were right next to a window.
Right by a window. Why? With their back turned. Stop it.
Or putting the weapon down behind them and then hugging.
Yeah. Ugh,
so that's the thing that I think ultimately made this movie not very good is that the characters were constantly making really bad decisions.
Yeah. If we're in a situation like that, I will never hug you.
Yeah. So
like, okay, you're good. All right, we're going.
I did learn some other things if I could quickly say them.
Sure.
Reboots and remakes equal, and I quote, garbage, and horror prequel reboot trilogies equal poo-poo. Okay. That is a quote.
So sucky and poo-poo.
Yes.
Those are Tony's reviews.
Because I had no other words. I'm like, oh man. I had to
strangers
go infantile.
Pray at night. Oh, Strangers chapter one. Poo-poo.
Sucky.
For Tony from Gutted Horror Podcast.
Yes. That's my quote.
Okay.
So yes, haven't we learned our lesson from The Exorcist, Believer, Halloween Kills ends. Yeah. Stop making these. Make something original. We want to see original films.
Yeah. Well, I learned, don't kiss and drive.
Yes, that's a great lesson.
Exactly. If they didn't kiss and drive, they wouldn't have almost gotten into a head-on collision and had to stop in this little no-name town and have their car, I don't know, messed up, tinkered with. Ooh, don't be rude to locals. It's an out-of-towner. Figure out your own vegetarian options. lock your doors, which they didn't do enough. And you only need to look through the peephole one time. If no one's there, back up and arm yourself. She looked through that damn peephole like 5 times in a row. Yeah. And every time she saw something different. First she saw someone, then she saw no one, then she saw someone, he covered the peephole with his hand, and then she saw no one again. I'm like, stop looking through the peephole.
Well, she ended up gaslighting herself, because then when she actually saw someone and told Ryan about it, then he's like, oh, no, you didn't see
me. You smoked weed, didn't you? I'm going to shame you.
Yeah.
And yes, carry your own weapon. Don't rely on your dumbass boyfriend to have a shotgun. That's it.
Yeah.
But mostly don't kiss and drive.
Yes, do not kiss and drive. This has been a public service announcement from Gutted Horror Podcast.
Thank you for watching and or listening. Please leave us a comment, like, subscribe. Also, we really love your comments. So we did mention one of our subscribers many times because he left a great comment. Please leave more.
Yes, if you leave comments, we will give you a
shout out. We will talk about you. And if you don't want us to talk about you, then you probably won't leave a comment. Anyway, this has been another episode of
Got It.